Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast episode number 857. We're the Fight Disciples. This is your boxing preview for the weekend that is coming up. And there is some boxing. Yes, I know that you thought it were all done and dusted. Out in Saudi Arabia, you're going to have a couple of weeks off? Well, no. Eh? It's coming at you thick and fast. Bit of Friday night action. Bit of Saturday night action. And a card that actually has more than one fight on it that you should be interested in. Eh? What the bloody hell's going on in this game? Really has changed. Which one are you looking forward to the most? One fight, go.
Nathan Heaney, ring walk. Nathan Heaney, super fan.
No, you can't do that. Nathan Heaney, ring walk. There's about 10 fights here that we're probably going to talk about over the weekend. And you're talking to me about a geezer singing Tom Jones's Delilah.
Exactly. Exactly. That's just like a magical moment. Every time you're in the arena.
Go to a concert then. Ring walk, go to a concert. I'm here to watch a fight, mate.
Something very special. He stepped in to replace Kell Brook with the best ring walk in UK boxing. And he stepped up a level less time out in with flying colours. So I'm excited to see where this Nathan Heaney train is going to take us.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to put the brakes on that for a second. I'm going to come back to it because I've got a few thoughts on that fight in particular and obviously the card in general. That's Birmingham is what you're referring to. Mm-hmm. Let's turn our attention first and foremost to Friday night. Because I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say this is where the best atmosphere is going to be at. Yeah, wow. I know that Birmingham and everybody's going to be enjoying themselves. Yes, I know that Las Vegas has even got a card on with a British fighter that could bring a bit of atmosphere. But we've experienced this. We've seen this kid fight in this arena. And with it being St. Patrick's weekend, come on, man.
Correct.
Callum Walsh, Doreen Ilyusinov, Madison Square Garden. Friday night is the place to be. That place will be absolutely jumping. No doubt about it. New York City, full of the Irish, St. Patrick's weekend. Come on, man. That's the atmosphere of the weekend for me.
Yeah, and listen, last time we went, it was rammed anyway to watch Callum Walsh. So I could only imagine with the old Shamrock hanging over the building, it's going to have a little extra spice. And obviously there's a bunch of Irish fighters on the undercard as well. And Ilyusinov, mate, he's got the name. Kind of like fighting Golovkin's brother, isn't it? It's like fighting Golovkin's brother. Kid can fight, kid can whack, but he ain't there, kid. So it's the right fight for Callum Walsh at this stage. Because we were there, we were ringside, we watched his last fight with a bunch of fight disciples, no less, in Madison Square Garden. And he is still very much a work in progress, but he's ticking boxes along the way. And this is another good opponent to tick a box.
He's taking proper fights. What is he? He's 10. This is his 10th fight, is it?
Fight. Yeah.
10th exactly. fight, right? So it's a 10 rounder at super welterweight. I'm sick of watching good, talented young kids coming through fighting taxi drivers, doormen, bin men. It's boring. Not interested. I want to see people that are going to hit them back. I want to see what they do when they get hit back. I want to see questions. And I actually think that Dana and the team around Callum Walsh doing a really good job. They're moving along nicely. It reminds me a little bit of when Barry McGuigan moved Josh Taylor along a little bit. You know what I mean? Proper step-ups, proper fights, proper challenges. He's coming through them at the moment. This is a challenge in the aspect that Ilyusinov can crack all his victory. Well, I say all his victories, 10 of his 11 victories. He's not the dude out. So you're going to have to be defensively sharp. You're going to have to be switched on. Yes, he can be beaten. Yes, he can be outboxed. And I anticipate Callum Walsh to come through and outbox and win this fight. I think it'd be a nice little statement if he can rubber stamp it with a finish himself. But he's going to get... Listen, he's going swimming on Friday night. There's no doubt about it, mate. He's going swimming. So let's see how he deals with that. And I think it's a great piece of matchmaking for the lad's 10th fight. And we've met him. Lovely lad. Really good kid. Dedicated to the craft. And he brings the party, man. People are out, aren't they? People come out for him.
Yeah. As I say, on a card like this, which has got people like Mighty Joe Ward and Fearless Fergal McCrory on the undercard as well.
These are the names. These are the names. These are the old school names, man. That's it. You've got to have a proper little nickname, aren't you? Fearless Fergal.
Exactly. The old forged Irish stout is going to be flowing down Manhattan, I'll tell you that much. So yeah, I'm with you. I think it's the right fight at the right time. I think, you know, I'm not quite putting his trajectory on the same level as Josh Taylor's because that was incredible. But I get what you're saying. It's names, it's opponents with good chins, opponents that are coming to win. And that's what Yuli Selanov will have seen in the last fight. They'll have looked at the last Callum Walsh performance and gone, okay, he isn't just blowing people away. He is having to come through some adversity. He is, you know, he was up against it last time out. He was asked serious questions and he found the answer to those questions. All good. I think it's a really good card. That's all, I think it's on. Is it on
Fight Pass?
He's going to be on Fight Pass, yeah. So I've got my Callum Walsh banner here in the background. Last time we went,
there
I
you
love
go.
That. You know, I love it when they give out free bits of merch to people going into the arenas. I remember when Ricky Hatton fought Manny Pacquiao in the MGM in Las Vegas, and as we were going into the MGM Grand, same thing. They were giving you like a paddle. And on one side of the paddle was either a British flag or a Filipino flag. And when you turned it round, it was the face mask of either Ricky or Manny Pacquiao. Mega. I love stuff like that.
Tat.
Yes.
Love a bit of tat. A bit of priceless tat. I was there. I've got somewhere. Here, I've got this. Stay there. This is tat. This is the head covering of Usyk Joshua from the back of my seat at the arena. And I don't know why I've got it, but yeah, I'll take that. Take that. That's a memento, isn't it? What am I going to do with that? What am I going to do with it? I've no idea, mate. But yeah, it's just confirmation that once upon a time I was there.
Yeah, exactly. Mega. Anyway, you could probably fashion that into a pair of budgie smugglers.
Probably could, mate, actually. Yeah. Look all right, though. Get a bit of Usyk and Joshua across my backside. All good. There you go. Friday night action, Madison Square Garden. If you're out in New York, I'm sure you're in for a bit of a treat. Like I said, personally, I think that'll be the atmosphere of the weekend. When Callum Walsh comes out and the Irish fans come out, especially on St. Patrick's weekend, it is going to be noisy. I think the biggest challenge of the weekend is in Las Vegas. I think Maxi Hughes is up against it. I really do, mate. William Zepeda is a serious, serious ask in the lightweight division. I'll even go as far as to say, right, and I know that he was the former champion, George Kambosos. I think Zepeda is a tougher challenge than Kambosos. I think he's one of those guys that is so under the radar, doesn't get the pomp, doesn't get the noise that he should get. He's a real player. And I don't think a lot of top people take him because it's high risk, kind of low reward at this stage. Maxi's up against it, no doubt about it. I'm delighted that he's got an opportunity again in Las Vegas to be fighting a big eliminator, which is going to propel him forward towards hopefully a shot at a world title, because he should already be there because he beat George Kambosos. Let's not bloody mess about with this. He did. I'm glad that he's got, let's just say, promotional support from Golden Boy to bring him in for this particular fight. And he's got an opportunity. Listen, at the end of the day, go for it, Maxi, mate. Yes, it's a tough challenge. We know that. We know what you're up against, pal. But fuck it. Let's have a do.
Yeah, and you know what? A few years ago, you know, when Maxi Hughes was kind of coming through and, you know, suffering setbacks against the likes of Liam Walsh and stuff like that, if you'd have said to him then, you know, your career's going to go on, you're going to fight for, you're going to fight a former world champion in America, you're going to fight again in Las Vegas, your name's going to be up in lights, you're going to fight over in the Middle East and Dubai and all that kind of stuff. Maxi, they bit your hand off for it. But where Maxi Hughes is right now, he should already be one step ahead of this. He, you know, it must kill Maxi Hughes and the team around Maxi Hughes to look at the fact that Kambosos is about to have a home fight against Lomachenko.
Yeah.
That's how close he was, do you know what I mean? And okay, that boxing match doesn't necessarily work that way, but you can dare to dream, can't you? In another universe, Maxie Hughes had his arm raised against Kambosos like he should have done. And this weekend, we're talking about Maxie Hughes fighting Lomachenko in Yorkshire, UK. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So that's the disappointing thing. But we can dwell on that. We can fucking, you know,
yeah, he can't afford to,
whatever else. But he can't. He will have moved on as well, Maxie. Maxie will have moved on. He will be ready. You're absolutely right. He's up against it. I'd rather have rematched Kambosos than get in there with Zepeda. In fact, I'd rather take on Lomachenko than get in there with Zepeda. Could, for the exact reason you've said, do I think he's more talented than Lomachenko? No, I think Lomachenko on points the most talented guy in the division. But he's kind of king of the who needs him club, Zepeda, isn't he? He's looked like a world champion long before he's got a belt wrapped around his waist. And even though Golden Boy have stuck by Maxie Hughes and gone, listen, man, this kid deserves an opportunity.
We know the score.
You've got to feel for him a little bit, because the opportunity he's got is the guy that nobody wants to face. The guy that is absolutely destructive. 29 fights, 29 wins, 25 knockouts in 29 fights. Zepeda is a very special fighter. We've known that for a while, but no one talks about him. He's the elephant in the room. Now we've got to talk about him because Maxie Hughes is standing in front of him. But the flip side of that, Adam, is what else do you want Maxie Hughes to do? No, come back and fight on the undercard of this show in Birmingham on Saturday night and get dwarfed below, you know, the likes of Nathan Heaney and everybody else, and then suddenly he's back down to domestic level again. Nah, man, you're there now. You got robbed against Kambosos. Everybody in the world knows it. You're in there with a tough operator in Zepeda, but go out there and shock the world. Shock the world. That'd be incredible. And Maxie will give it his best shot. The problem is you've got, I know, as talented as Maxie is and unconventionally is, and that's what does him so well. I just don't know whether he'll get Zepeda's respect because he just quite hasn't got the punch power.
Mm.
That's my fear.
Yeah. Listen, the carrot that is dangling, I know that he should already have the carrot in fighting the Lomachenkos of this world, but the carrot that is dangling is the potential. I think this is a WBA eliminator, so that sets up Tank. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Mate,
get Tank over to the UK. Tank in Yorkshire.
Jeez. Listen, he's up against it. He's fighting in Las Vegas. He's at the Cosmo. Fingers crossed there's a ton of fans going over there to support him and cheer him on.
Champagne bar, second floor. Absolutely tremendous if you are going to a little hot spot of ours.
Chandelier bar, it is.
The chandelier bar, sorry, yeah. So there you go. Chandelier. What would we drink? Moscow Mule. You want to drink Moscow Mules in the chandelier bar at the Cosmo, preferably before lunch.
And then get down to the Chelsea to watch.
There you go.
Maxie Hughes do his thing. But William Zepeda, listen, I'm sure he'll have a big Mexican following. There'll be loads of people in and around him. He's a very talented lad. Big, long, strong southpaw with big knockout power. But best of luck to Maxie Hughes, who's up against it this weekend, no doubt. Now then, Birmingham, the destination, Resorts World. Love it here. I do. I've been to Resorts World on a couple of occasions. It's a mad old gaff. I tell you what. It's the Arnold bodybuilding thing there as well this weekend, mate. So there's going to be
it all together, is it?
There's going to be some right characters knocking about, let me tell you. There's going to be some people that have eaten a lot of protein, let's just say, in and around Birmingham and the Resorts World come Saturday night. Liam Davis in action, Nathan Heaney in action, and you've got Big Joe Joyce back in action. Now, it's been billed as the Magnificent Seven ride again. Now, of course,
Queensbury have rolled that one out many a time over the years. You know, I'm sure there was one in Liverpool, almost certain there was one in Manchester. Yeah. The old Magnificent Seven. Get them all dressed as cowboys. Stick them on a number seven. When was the Magnificent Seven released, by the way? Not to take a dig at anyone, but that movie's older than me and you. Come on. Come on.
Sounds good, though, doesn't it? Does sound good.
Joe Joyce Unchained. There you go. That's a bit more relevant. Still got your cowboy theme. Go on, sorry.
That's not a magnificent fight, by the way. I don't know why you've highlighted the George Joyce fight magnificent bunch. That's probably the least magnificent out of the fights that are on this card. But it is deep. If you've got a ticket for this and you are going to this weekend, there's at least, I can only speak for me personally, I'm interested in at least three of these, maybe four, with the potential of a fifth catching fire. I think there's one fight there that...
What? 5 out of 7's not bad, though, kid. Come on.
Yeah, mate, for boxing... Sound. Yeah. For boxing, that is tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. Liam Davis is slowly becoming one of my favourite fighters. He really is, mate. You know, I've been lucky enough to see him live on a couple of occasions now. Last time out, which was part of the Manchester one, it really was magnificent. He was down. The opponent was down. The opponent was down again. It was rock 'em, sock 'em, robots. And he's just... He just seems to have matured. You know, I remember watching him a few years ago and I'm thinking, I don't know, mate. I know there's hype about him. I know that loads of people are talking about him. I just thought it was promotional talk. Yeah, okay, you're hyping up your guy. Yeah, fair enough. But there's better people in the world and I don't know whether he'll get to the top level. Now, I don't know what's happened. Penny's dropped to summit. Something's happened. Maybe he's grown into the frame. But he's starting to deliver and he's starting to deliver moments that capture the imagination of the fight fan. Yes, you can appreciate how good of a boxer he is. But when he starts putting people over and starts putting people away, yeah, that's the ticket seller now. Now I'm interested. Now I'm coming to watch Liam Davis. Now I'm interested in getting involved. I'm not interested in the belt. The belt's a load of bullshit. IBO super bantamweight. I know it might mean something to some people, but to me, it means absolutely fuck all. The fight's good. Eric Robles Ayala. This is a kid that beat Lee McGregor. I hold Lee McGregor in quite high esteem. He's a good, solid boxer, this fella. And he will absolutely ask questions of Liam Davis. Like I said, I'm not interested in the trinket. I'm interested in the fight. I think the fight's a good one. Davis has been on a lovely little rise recently. What's he done? Leach, Baluta, Cunningham. And that Firmina fight last time out was brilliant.
Mega.
Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be great. I really do think that this is going to be a good fight. Liam Davis, obviously, it's Birmingham. Is he Telford? Is that what he's... He's from in and around that area. And he's from in and around the Midlands. So hopefully all the fans come out for him, make a shitload of noise for him. And he can perform again. But it's a question. Ayala's no joke, mate. It's not an easy one.
No. Ayala's, as you say, we've seen him up close and personal, and he did a fantastic job away from home last time out here in the UK, beating another one of our top prospects. And Liam Davis can't afford to take his eye off the ball. I thought Liam Davis was magnificent here. It was Cunningham, wasn't it, that he chinned in the first round? He was brilliant.
Yeah, I think he was the underdog going into that, you know? I think.
Well, he was, because Cunningham had been there before and Davis came into it on the back of a couple of 12-round decisions. As he'd stepped up, suddenly they'd started to be more drawn-out decisions then, and we were like, okay, it's, you know, experience is going to come in here. But Liam Davis was electric that night, electric. Mm. And that was a resurgence, Cunningham as well. So last time out picks up the European title. You know, I value the European title above the belt this weekend, but of course he's faced the Mexican, so... I don't understand why this is a vacant title fight either, because the Mexican won it when he beat... Well, last time he was here, he won this belt. So I don't know why it's vacant, but who cares? No one really cares about the belt anyway.
Cares about the belt, yeah.
Over 12 rounds. This is a really good fight. It's a real good test for Liam Davis. It's as close to a 50-50 as anything else on the card. And there's a bunch of good 50-50s on here, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by it, to be honest with you. I think if Liam Davis can keep his focus and produce what he has been doing and keep that trajectory going, I think we've got ourselves a real legit future world title contender. But don't write off these fucking Mexicans, man. Don't write them off. Every time we ship these Mexicans over as a stepping stone to a world title fight, consistently, what do? They wipe the floor with our guys. And Ayala is no joke. Okay, he might not be that one punch power guy, but we've seen him. He's only 23 himself, Ayala, don't forget. Last time we were here, he looked brilliant. He absolutely looked great. Outworked Lee McGregor. And at the time, we were as high on Lee McGregor as we are on Liam Davis right now.
Yeah. I think that's the best fight on this card. I really do. And maybe I'm being...
Well, I'm all in on the, obviously, on the British super bantamweight title fight as well, for obvious reasons. But yeah. I think that's a belter.
Because there's a scouser in it, you clown. I know that you are. I'm just telling you that Liam Davis versus Eric Robles Ayala is my own personal favourite from that card. I think that will be a really good fight. Nathan Heaney, Brad Paul's. I don't know how I feel about this. It's a British title fight, buzzing. Middleweight title fights on the line. And when it was announced, I'm going to be dead honest with you, I was a little bit flat with it. And it's because I've just seen Nathan Heaney beat Denzel Bentley.
Yes.
And he did it brilliantly. Denzel Bentley had the name, had the profile, had been to world level, and Nathan Heaney had just gone like that. Woof! Wow, man, what the hell was that? With all due respect to Brad Paulus, he doesn't have the profile, so therefore it's a come down.
Yeah.
For me, I can only speak from my own how my own feeling was towards the fight. I then took a step back and I thought, well, maybe Nathan wants to win the Lonsdale belt outright. Maybe that's what he's trying to do. And obviously, you've got to have several defenses in order to get yourself one of them belts on your mantelpiece. So I can understand that from Nathan's point of view. But from a fan point of view, I was like, oh, mate, we can propel this now to a big name. This, what he did against Denzel Bentley sets up something in a big arena or in a big stadium against a big name. Genuinely a big name because of what he did. I think that this is quite high risk. I don't know how big the reward is bar the defence of a Lonsdale belt for Nathan Heaney. Brad Paulus is coming and he's throwing the kitchen sink at this. Absolutely. This is his cup final. He's coming, man, big time.
Yeah.
He's coming to win this fight.
Yeah.
Is Nathan Heaney, and I'd listen, there's nothing to suggest otherwise. Is Nathan Heaney as switched on for this as he was for Denzel Bentley? You knew what the jeopardy was in the Denzel Bentley fight. You knew how big that was. So Nathan, who just went to a new level mentally.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that Brad Paulus ain't Denzel Bentley. No. Where's Nathan Heaney's head? If Nathan Heaney's head is any less than what it was against Denzel Bentley, then all of a sudden I think you've got a crazy fight on your hands because Brad Paulus is coming.
He is. Well, it is. It's a role reversal, isn't it? And this is what boxing should look like.
That's
Denzel Bentley I'll look below and I'll go back for the British title fight against Nathan Heaney. Go on then. And for Nathan Heaney, fuck me, mate, this is your world title fight. There's no other opportunities. You're about to fight a guy that just fought for the world title not long ago, came close to winning it, and the British title's on the line. Turn up and do your best. And now it's role reverse. And this is what boxing should look like. Right, okay,
but role reverse now. In defense of that first one, Nathan Heaney had profile. Nathan Heaney has name. Nathan Heaney has fan base. You know what I mean? So for Denzel to come back, easy work. Everybody's going to be watching me.
And the tickets will sell out. I guess that's what you're saying. He was an attraction.
Exactly. Brad Paulus doesn't have that.
No, but if you speak to Nathan now as well, and I know you speak to Nathan a lot, you'll know that Nathan is kind of in no rush. You know what I mean? He wants to tick every box along the way. Does he have aspirations to fight for the world title? You better believe it. Yeah. But he wants to tick every box along the way. And it makes no surprise to me that he's spoke to Frank or whoever and gone, listen, I want to maybe win the Lonsdale belt outright. Yeah, certainly have a defense of the Lonsdale belt. I want to keep building. You know, that was my best ever performance. Well, next time I want an even better performance. So I'm comfortable with my performance. So I know it's not a one-off that I can go, right, okay, I'm ready for the next level. I'd like a European title fight now. How do I get that? How do I get this? So I think this is as much Nathan as anybody else going, let me defend the British title belt. Okay, Brad Paulus, good. You know, and an industry name, let's be honest. Kid hasn't fought outside of York Hall or, you know, if you look at his record, he's boxed in swimming pools and leisure centres. York Hall's like his home ground and everything else. Yeah. But he's an attraction. He brings some good numbers. I've seen him fight at York Hall and there's people in the corner making a riot over there. So he'll have a load going up to Birmingham this weekend because, as I say, this is his cup final. He will look at Nathan Heaney the way Nathan Heaney looked at Denzel Bentley in a way. Wow, this is my Everest. If I conquer this, the world's my oyster. So you're right. I think he will come at it. I think Nathan Heaney, what we've seen against Denzel Bentley, for me, showed us a completely different level to his game. And I think he will build on that. I think this will be, I wouldn't say a routine defense, but, you know, an even better performance from Nathan Heaney. I don't know whether Brad Paulus can shorten that distance. If he can, you're right. If Nathan's overlooking him, and I don't think he's that guy, Nathan Heaney. No, I really don't. But if he is, he's in trouble. But I think we've found out that Nathan Heaney actually has got potential on an international stage, and I think we're going to get a bit of a statement performance from him. And I love the Tash, by the way. The Tash just works.
Mate, stop it.
Just works.
70s porn.
Oh,
70s porn. He knows.
Yeah.
The other fight, because I said there was three that are jumping off the page to me, is Dennis McCann versus Brad Strand, of course.
Yep.
In the super bantamweight division.
There's a bit of needle coming into this one, you know.
Why?
Dennis McCann. Well, because the boat, they're literally training less than 5 miles apart.
Right.
Dennis
so
McCann.
Why is that
is now,
needle? The gym's not like each other. It's under it,
no, no, not necessarily. Everton Red Triangle and Rotunda, obviously there's a rivalry there that goes right back for decades through the amateurs and now as am pros and everything else. But it's more like whispers around the city, such and such a spar near me, spar a name, you know, blah, blah. Dennis McCann coming out and saying, you know, there's more people in Liverpool want me to win than want you to win. There's all like, it's like Liverpool's a village, man. And even though we're the big city, we have got a bit of a village mentality like that. And there's a lot of talk in that 5 mile circumference around those two gyms about what's happening and what's going to happen. I honestly think when box technique for technique, I think Bradley Strand's the better boxer. But Dennis McCann has got a little bit of an evil streak in him, and he has got a little bit more power, I think.
Look at you. Look at you.
Honestly, I'm all bought in. I think it's a fantastic fight. Really good.
It's a fantastic fight because Dennis McCann's career stalled. That's why it's a fantastic fight. Dennis is 23 years of age. Loads of noise about him. We're in. We're in on the Dennis McCann train. I love him. You love him. But he fought once last year, and it was that premature stoppage with a cut, wasn't it? Saw him once. 23 years of age to only have one fight, and it not to be conclusive in any way, shape, or form. Come on, man. We need to be more active and we need to be moving along. Now, there might have been injuries. There might have been he's changed gyms. There might have been all sorts of different reasons as to why that has happened. But at 23, you can't afford that. Come on, man. We need to get on the train. We need to be out every 3 to 4 months. We need to be capturing the imagination of the fans. We need to be going through the levels. And we need that. We need those moments, don't we?
Which is what he has been doing. You know, it was 3 or 4 fights a year, every fight.
But what I'm saying, it stalled. Last year, it was like, where's he gone? So now this fight all of a sudden becomes, like you just said, it does become a 50-50. You look at it, you go, I don't know where Dennis is at. I don't know where he's at. And Brad Strand, as you've just pointed out, is a sensational boxer. He's so slick. I just don't think he has the power to hurt Dennis enough to stop Dennis doing Dennis things. If Dennis is at his elite, at his best, like you just said, he's a nasty little bugger, isn't he? Nasty little bugger. So I would, if I'm looking at this fight, I think it's a good contest. I think it'd be noisy. I think, like you've said, if you're telling me there's a bit of needle between them, it just adds to it. I'm sure the press conferences will add to that throughout the course of the week. I'm favouring Dennis, but there is a little asterisk next to it because I'm thinking to myself, where's he at? I don't know, mate. I ain't seen you for ages. So, good fight. Yeah. Good bit of matchmaking, that.
Yeah, it's a great fight. And I think I'm going to go more towards Bradley Strand, and not just because he's Scouse, but because...
I love that whenever you've now got to preview a fight, you've got to say, not because he's Scouse.
But what I will say about Bradley Strand is he's in a gym there full of absolute killers in around that weight division. And you can name 4 or 5 of them now who have already made their name, who've already fought for titles, who've already maybe even main card on
been training with Nick, wouldn't he?
On shows.
Been training with Nick for last week.
So, you've got Nick Ball, Peter McGrail, Joe McGrail, you know, Keynes, all these guys who've already made headlines. And Bradley Strand, probably other than McGrail, has won more national titles and more amateur credentials than any of those guys. Mm. He is so talented, Bradley Strand, as a boxer. He is incredible, honestly incredible. He just hasn't had this opportunity. Now, I know there's a real adage there to go, how far can he go? Because he hasn't got the pop. You know, you think about another scouter, Tom Stalker, captain of England at the Olympic Games, done everything as an amateur, came into the pros, couldn't punch his way out of a paper bag, and ultimately paid the price for that because people would walk through his arsenal. Now, that's something that Bradley Strand's got to deal with. But just a reminder, Bradley Strand won everything as an amateur. He's super talented. And if you needed to know how talented, Liam Davis is in the main event in Birmingham.
Oh, here he goes.
Fighting for the title. Bradley Strand boxed his head off in the ABAs when they were amateurs. That's how good Bradley Strand is. So don't write him off just yet. If Dennis McCann lands a big bomb, obviously he can put him on, you know, he can hurt him, he can whatever. But no one else has done that as of yet with Bradley Strand. He's undefeated, don't forget. Honestly, don't write Bradley Strand off. Dennis McCann could get himself a lesson here.
Look at you, hey?
I
tell you what.
I'm all in on it. I think it's a brilliant fight. I think it's a 50-50.
I do. I think exactly, for all the reasons that both of us have said, I think it makes a lot of sense. And I'm looking forward to that. They were the three that jumped off the page for me initially. Liam Davis and the Dennis McCann fight. Of course, I had a certain feeling towards the Heaney-Poles fight, but now I think about it as a little bit. I want to see if Nathan Heaney's got that mentality to keep himself at that level, even though we all know that this is a step back from Denzel Bentley. Now, what else jumps off the page for you?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, straight away, I'm attracted to the fact that Zach Parker's fighting against Tyron Zouge. Now, Tyron Zouge, because Tyron Zouge retired after losing to Rocky Fielding. Tyron Zouge had the lesser version of the WBA title, if you remember, and Rocky Fielding. And he was undefeated. He was like fucking 25-0 with loads of knockouts. He was like the new guy to take over in German boxing. And then Rocky Fielding went over there. I'm sure... Didn't Martin Murray go first? Or, you know, I'm sure he'd fought.
Paul Smith
had been over first. Yeah, got done on the scorecards probably. But, you know, you could see the challenge that was over there. And Rocky Fielding, against all the odds, after winning prize fighter, like, you know, really cemented his career by going to Germany and sparking out Tyron Zouge and done it early. I think it was the first round.
Fifth round.
Yeah. Sorry. And it was early. And then... After that, Tyron Zouge kind of either meandered along, retired for about 4 years, and came back last year and has put a couple of wins together, as usual, all in Germany again. I think he's boxed outside of Germany. This will be a first fight outside of Germany. But he's no mug. He's got experience. He's faced people. He's, you know, he's come through adversity. I think Zach Parker, right guy at the right time. But you never know with Tyron Zouge, man. He could make it difficult for Zach Parker. I think this is a really intriguing one. Parker's only won. He's only had one win since he lost to John Ryder. And by the way, John Ryder done a number on him.
I think it looks better than it is.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I don't think. Yeah, I don't think Zouge is. I don't think he's all that. I think, like you've just said, he's come back. He's done nothing since the Rocky Fielding defeat. Everything is against geezers that have got records of 10-65. You know, it's Matt. I think. This is a perfect name, I suppose, because you can say he's a former world champion. You can say that. This is perfect for Zach Parker to get his train back on the track. Because I was a massive fan of Zach Parker. I was like, yes, mate, this guy's the guy. Coming through good. But then all of a sudden, there's questions about him. You've got to be dead honest. There's questions about him. He pulled himself out of the John Ryder fight. Because he broke his hand, didn't he? He broke his hand in the fight and he pulled himself out of it. He said, I'm injured, I can't carry on. So he's pulled himself out of that. Now, I think this is a decent opponent, decent named opponent for Zach Parker to get himself back on the track. Because I think this division, we all know that at the top of the division, it's the Canelo show, isn't it, right? And he's doing whatever he's doing. But Zach Parker is talented enough to get himself back in this game. And I think he'll come through good at the weekend. I would like to think that he would anyway. The one that jumped off for me, mate, and I know this is hardcore. I know this is a proper industry fight. It's Ethan James against Owen Cooper, which is the English welterweight. Yeah, the English title, right? Neither of these, like, with all due respect to him, if you're listening, if anybody in their team's listening, neither of them are putting anybody over, right?
Nope.
They don't have the pop. But it'll just be great. They'll both have it. They'll meet each other in the centre of the ring and they'll just have it.
Steal proper.
It genuinely could steal the show. It's the one that... when I looked at that, I went, I don't know if it's going to... if you were to say to people that were coming, I don't know, for Nathan Heaney on Saturday.
Quick, let's get to our seats fast.
I don't know if it's going to do that because of the name value that's connected to it. People will probably be in the bar and having a bevy and a burger or whatever it may be. But if you're listening to this and you see Ethan James and Owen Cooper and you know that they're what, just go and watch it because I think it'll be brilliant. It's going long.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's knocking anybody out. It's going long. You're going to get a lot of action, but I think it'll be brilliant.
It's a 10-round English title fight featuring two undefeated fighters who will both look at each other's records. James is 12-0 with no knockouts and Cooper's 9-0 with 3 knockouts. Neither of them have faced anybody of note at this stage in their careers. Neither of them have, you know, faced much adversity, if you like, along the way. They're still coming out of that journeyman phase of developing. That's why this is a great fight, you know, and there's many of them on here. Two undefeated guys, right? Exactly the same as McCann versus Strand. Don't face each other now and see who moves forward and who goes away and learns and rebuilds. But the step back isn't huge. It's not like you lose this fight and suddenly you're right back down here. You're a single step behind, that's all. And you'll come again, just like other two. So that's why it's such a brilliant fight. This is what boxing should look like more on a consistent basis. This card may not have the massive star power, but in terms of matchmaking, this is another really good fight. A really good fight.
Like O'Leary versus Martirosyan could be brilliant. I just think there's too many questions over Martirosyan. Never fought out of Belgium. Yes, I know he's undefeated through 16 and everybody will be, whoa, two undefeated lads coming into this. And on paper, it looks great. But Martirosyan never fought out of Belgium. Does he have that thing? If he has that thing, I know Pierce O'Leary is very, very good. So therefore, if Martirosyan turns up and he's as good as O'Leary, that could steal it.
Yeah.
Because like you just said, one's undefeated through 13, one's undefeated through 16. Can the other lad travel? Can he come out of Belgium? Can he turn up in Birmingham? And can he bring what he's been bringing in Belgium? If he can, against a lad that's undefeated, you might have a fight tonight on your hands there.
Somewhere in Belgium right now, there's a Belgian version of the Fight Disciples, and they're probably sitting there drinking that dark ale stuff that they drink.
That's proper powerful stuff. Lefe.
Yeah.
A bit of Lefe down your neck.
That's 12% Lefe right now, talking about it, going, but O'Leary has never fought outside of Britain. He's shit, man. He's scared to travel. That's not my worst Belgian accent ever.
That is horrific, mate. But I think it's more French. It's a French-sounding one, if you want to go down there.
But the point is, for everything you've just said about Matosian and all those question marks, I've got exactly the same question marks about O'Leary. Never fought outside of Britain, you know? Was a solid level amateur over in Ireland. I think, funnily enough, I'm sure he lost a national final to Callum Walsh. He was fighting on Saturday night at MSG or Friday night at MSG. So this is a kid that's also not really had any serious questions asked. Again, wonderful bit of matchmaking. The winner goes there, loser doesn't really drop off.
What is going on with this show today?
Proper fights. It's
what's
proper
going
fights.
On? Yeah,
quick, let's talk about Joe Joyce Cash Ali so we can shit on it.
Listen, before we shit on it, right?
Yeah.
I know there's people in that Queensbury office. I know that they listen to the Fight Disciples, right? They pay attention to it. And I know that they go back to Frank and they say, he said this week or he said that this week. You better be going to him this week and you better be telling him what we're saying. This is good. Like it. Like a lot of it.
Poor Umar won't have anything to talk to Frank about this week. We're just saying how great the show is. Then he has to get himself a different job. But yeah, man, listen, credit where it's due. Out of the top seven fights, we've just been through six of them. Six of them are proper fights. On paper, they're proper fights. Absolutely incredible. And out of those six guys, talk amongst yourselves. One, two, three, four defeats. Only four of those 12 fighters have suffered a single defeat. You can count up the wins. The wins must be over 100 wins. Easy looking at that. Over 100 wins against just four defeats spread across four fighters. And those defeats were against good level guys. This is what boxing should look like. Well done, Frank. Well done, everybody involved. Well done, Queensbury. If this is what Uncle Turkey's cash facilitates, fucking sensational. Brilliant.
Shall we just leave Joe Joyce and Cash Alley?
Last time I'd seen Cash Alley, he took a bite out of David Price. Which one then? Before we do that, let's end on a high. Let's just end this top six on a high.
Yeah.
Put your balls on the line. Which one is the fight of the night? Which one steals the show?
Liam Davis against Derek Robles Ayala. When you say fight of the night, I think that'll be the one that people talk about, because Liam Davis just keeps consistently performing to a level now that is must-watch television.
Yeah.
The last one against La Femina, he was down himself. He dragged himself off the deck, put La Femina down, then finished it for the European title. I thought it was absolutely awesome. I think his performance against Leach was brilliant. His performance against Baluta was brilliant. His performance against Cunningham, as we saw, was crash-bang-wallop. I don't think it's going to be crash-bang-wallop here, but I think he'll get him. I do. And I think it'll be a really, really, really good fight. Go on. Let's guess. Go on.
I'm so tempted to pick Ethan James versus Owen Cooper, you know. I'm so tempted to pick
that. I hope it's on TV.
Barnstormer.
I hope it's on TV because, there's, like you said, there's a lot of fights here. I don't know whether all of them make the TV broadcast. Fingers crossed they do. Fingers crossed it's not a massively long night for the fans. The pacing of it's good. Right.
There you go, there's some ammo for Umar. Of course it's going to be long. Jesus Christ.
Just make it nice and pacey. Get that main event out by 10:30 and everybody's bloody having a whale of a time, aren't they? Go on. You haven't picked a fight. Are you going for the English title fight?
I'm just counting it up. Again, we can't knock it because the top six fights are unreal. But on the entire eight fight card that it is, there's a total of 74 rounds scheduled. That's just going to be a 1 a.m. job again. Jesus Christ. I'm going to go with McCann Strand. There you go. I don't care. I don't care how obvious it is.
Because
I really like Dennis McCann. I really like him. But I think Dennis McCann, who's a confident little bugger, who's, you know, likes to walk the walk and talk the talk, I think he's going to realize pretty quickly that Bradley Strand is no joke. And I think he might be overlooking Bradley Strand, thinking, kid can't punch, watch this. And I tell you now, Bradley Strand could be five rounds up and Dennis McCann might be thinking, what the fuck is going on? So for me, that's the one. I think that's going to be crazy.
Tune in to our social media over the weekend for him going wild, going scouse, all in. Man, I think it's good. I think it's really, really good, this. And then, of course, best of luck to Maxi Hughes in Las Vegas and to Callum Walsh in Madison Square Garden. Looking forward to all that. Listen, it can't be all sunshine and rainbows, ladies and gentlemen. Got to finish on a negative, haven't we? I say a negative because I don't know the answers to this. I've been trying to get answers and I've not got the answers. On Sunday, St. Patrick's Night itself, in Ireland, his return against Christian Hammer. Dillian's 4-2 in his last six. Hammer's 2-4 in his last six. That's not what I'm bothered about. What I'm bothered about is, what is the situation with Dillian White? There's a lot of ambiguity in and around this. Everybody knows that when you listen to us on about drug tests, the failure drug test, the procedures in and around drug tests, what should happen. Now, I'm hearing a lot of stuff that is coming purely out of the side of Dillian White. And that's cool, man. He's well within his rights to defend himself and say, listen, this is the situation. It's a tainted supplement. That's why I've popped up on this particular test. I've had an expert analyze this. We've got this expert that said X, Y, and Z. Great. What's the border control saying? What I would like to know, and like I said, I've been asked plenty of questions about this from fight fans, and I've tried to get to the bottom of this, but I've been told that I'm not allowed to ask these questions in a public sphere as of yet, because there is a legal case going on with a supplement company. Fine, no problem. Okay.
Yeah.
This weekend. All right. So what we need to know is who's cleared him to fight, Who's license? Where's the license? What's the British Boxing Board of Control saying from the failed test in the build up to the to Anthony Joshua? I've just got so many questions in and around it. Listen, I'd love to see fighters back doing their thing, earning their crust. But if they've done something wrong and there has been a question in and around something that is wrong connected to the sport, it needs to be answered. We need transparency. Fans need to know. You can't just say, yeah, it's sorted. See ya. No, man, you've got to be honest with people. Let's have full transparency, full disclosure. What is the situation? And how are we in a situation where he's fighting this weekend? That's all. That's all I want to know.
The problem is we're barking up the wrong tree, because it's got absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the British Boxing Board of Control.
I know. That's why I'm asking the question.
He's not licensed by the British Boxing Board of Control. The confirmation from him that said he was cleared to fight has come via the Texas State Athletic Commission, sorry. So that would suggest his boxing license was with the Texas State Athletic Commission. And this fight this weekend on Sunday is sanctioned by the Boxing Union of Ireland, which is Ireland's own version of the British Boxing Board of Control. So it's got absolutely nothing to do with the British Boxing Board of Control. So the question should really be directed towards the Boxing Union of Ireland and the Texas State Athletic Commission.
I get what you're saying. The reason why I brought the board up is because the board with the sanctioning body sanctioning the AJ fight where he failed the test.
Right.
That's why I brought it up. I know that this isn't sanctioned by that. I was bringing that up because, hang on, you failed your VADA test. The board is sanctioning your AJ fight. So
they've basically gone, you ain't fighting AJ.
Yes,
so
he's just gone,
I'll go and play over here instead then.
Exactly. That's what I'm asking. Now, those answers are not out in the public domain. We don't even know what substance he failed for. We don't even know that. That's not public knowledge. Come on, let's have some transparency in and around this situation, because with all due respect to Dillian, I love him to bits, right? But you failed a test in 2012 for a stimulant and you served a two-year ban. You failed a test in 2019 in the aftermath, we got told. It was in the build-up, but we got told in the aftermath to the Oscar Rivas fight. And that was for metabolites of a particular steroid, of which then we were told in December later that year that the levels weren't performance enhancing, is what we got told, and therefore it was quashed. All that type of thing, yeah. And now we're in a situation where for a third separate time, so 2012, 2019, and now 2023, there's been another failed test. We're being told by Team White that it is because of a tainted supplement. Not doubting that that can't happen. It can happen. I've highlighted Joel Romero, for example, in the past. I've highlighted plenty of fighters in the past that can happen too. But let's be transparent. What's the thing that you failed for? What's the supplement? What's the situation with the British Boxing Board of Control?
Even if because of the legal case, they can't reveal who the supplement brand was. Mm-hmm. Because I understand the supplement brand might have gone, well, listen, if you're blaming us, taking us to court, we want to cut. Don't you name us, because people will start walking away from our supplement brand. We want to prove ourselves. I get that from a legal point of view.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we haven't found out what he's been popped for. Why have VADA not released that? Why have the British Boxing Board of Control not gone, yeah, he popped and it was for this? We've had that information in the past. As soon as someone gets hit with a ban or hit with a situation like this, they go, right, Conor Benn, pop for that, bingo. There you go. But it's the whole lack of information, full stop, which makes this one really strange. And I don't like the fact that it feels like, let's just get back in the ring, get back boxing again, and people forget about it. Oh, Dillian White came back the weekend, chin, Christian, hammer. Oh, okay, maybe that'd be good. If AJ isn't going to fight him, maybe we bring him in. Wait a minute, whoa. He really shouldn't have jumped straight back in there, because we haven't got answers to these questions. Boxing just does itself no favours, doesn't it, man? Does itself absolutely no favours. A bit of transparency, a little bit of honesty would go an awful long way.
Indeed. Like I said, I'll keep asking if I'm allowed to ask those questions. If I get it, I'll let you know. But for the time being, I'm being told that we're not allowed to talk about it. Anyway. There you go. That's your boxing this weekend. If you're watching this podcast on YouTube, there's a red button there in the corner just on the Nick's face. If you can press that, it'll ask you to subscribe to our channel. Lots of people have done that over the last week, and we appreciate you if you are brand spanking new to the Fight Disciples channel. Hit that subscribe button and you'll never miss out on any of our content. We've got long form stuff, short form stuff, all stuff connected to all different aspects of fight sports. So if you're into it like we're into it, come and join the party, man. And you can also subscribe to us for an audio feed via our website, fightdisciples.com. The link of that is in the description of this video. Click it. You can have Spotify, Google Play, all the carry on. It's all there. A good weekend. We had a great weekend last weekend where people were, all eyes was on boxing. Great stuff. And all eyes will be back on boxing this weekend with world title aspirations for British fighters, English title fights, British title fights, stuff on home soil. Mate, come on. What is there not to love? Enjoy the weekend. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.